Rashad Report, brought to you by GS Construction. If you have smarts, a strong work ethic, and a commitment to excellence, go to Indeed.com and apply today for GS Construction. Shogar Slater-Cuckoo walks into a two-year contract. Is this part of the plan as far as kind of, you know, taking up a spot while maybe Samurakov or Broberg or both work their way towards NHL employment?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I think, you know, the one player who would kind of be going, huh, in all of this is William Lagesson.
Yeah.
I think he would be sitting there saying, okay, I've been working and developing and had a bit of a breakthrough last year in some ways. Why can't I be that guy that you rely on for that? Which is to push Chris Russell in that third pairing, right? But I think that while Lagesson had some good games and he had a good little stretch there, and Dave Tippett certainly liked him, I think he tailed off. I think the league caught up to him a little bit. And, you know, they probably felt like they needed a little bit more insurance as opposed to being one injury away of having to play him every single night. So, yeah, I think that by bringing in Slater-Cuckoo, they drop in a guy that fit well in the room. I think they drop in a guy they know, which is always better than risking bringing in somebody new who you don't know as well. You know, it's important that you know if it's a fit, personality-wise, and city and room and all those things. And they know it is. So there's less risk when you're bringing in a known commodity. At the end of the day, all that matters is how he plays. But that's one of those things that you don't have to worry about, that you maybe would with somebody who was brand new to the city or the team or the dynamic or whatever. So he's going to push Chris Russell for third-pairing minutes. You know, I would hope for the Oilers' sake he's not pushing Duncan Keith at all, but I guess you never know. But just a reliable veteran that's been around, and, I mean, we'll get into how we think he played last year, but this is them adding depth at D, because, as you know, you can't ever have enough depth at D, especially as you're heading into playoffs.
No, and that's for sure, and I think you look at it as we're joined by Ryan Rashog. You know, Rusty, is he going to be able to play every night? Yeah, I think he can handle himself pretty well, but I think there'll be opportunities maybe to give him a rest, or he gets nicked up from, you know, jumping in front of grenades like we've seen him do 1,000 times.
Mm-hmm.
But if something happens to Rusty, and now you're – and I like Willie. Like, I'm a big fan, but I think you're right that last year every game gets a little faster. And, you know, towards the end of the season, it gets hard to play. Like, it's zinging around, especially when you're playing a team that's going to be in the playoffs. So this just gives them a guy that can come in there and maybe, you know, hold that spot if there's a little more depth. Because I don't think Broberg or Samurakov, you know, right now, from what I've seen, you don't need either of those guys playing regularly every night in your NHL lineup. I think they should both get a little bit of action this year on some level just to see what's out there. But it's, you know, so you kind of, it's funny. The other lines all feel set, the other five spots. But this one, Shogar, you could almost make the case after training camp to me that any one of those guys you just mentioned is starting in that spot on opening night. And I could kind of say, yeah, you're probably right.
Well, and the other thing to think about is, you know, under certain circumstances, you'd be okay with William Lagesson in your third pairing. You know, he's shown that he can probably play in the league, and he may have some ups and downs. If you were rock solid and solidified at right shot on the third pairing over there, I think it might be a bit of a different feel. But there's a certain type of player that they're going to want to have on the ice with Evan Bouchard. He's a young, developing, primarily offensive-minded defenseman. So how do you set that player up for success? Is it by throwing another guy out there who's got 20 games of experience, if he even has that? Nope. That's not the way you set him up for success. And so I think they want to make sure that they're not one injury away from a Lagesson-Bouchard third pairing. And by doing this, they have ensured that they've got two layers of veteran presence. No coincidence they chose that over on the left side to insulate themselves so that Evan Bouchard can have a veteran next to him every night that he suits up this year. And I think that's probably important if you want to give him a fair shot at developing properly.
You know, joined by Ryan Rashog here, talking all things NHL and Oilers. I was in a similar spot often. I'd play with, like, the young defenseman. But the thing, I would die to play with Evan Bouchard, because you know what he's good at and you know what he needs help with. And the things that he is good at, like, let's be honest, Willie Langston isn't good at, or isn't, sorry, isn't as good at. I don't think Rusty's quite as good at, and nor is Slater Cuckoo. And that's moving with the puck, making passes and breakout passes. So, I think there's actually a real opportunity for one of those guys, one of those three guys, to really form a nice relationship with a player who should only improve as the year goes on, as he gets used to the speed. But during that time, you're going to have to be a hero, like, breaking up two-on-ones or a misread, or, and not because he's a bad player or he's not smart. It's just going to happen. Like, I remember playing with Brian Berard for a little while, and the guy had one eye. And, sometimes he wouldn't even see someone out. Like, he literally wouldn't see the guy. I'd have to fly over and try to block a shot. He'd be like, sorry about that one. I didn't see him. Like, yeah, that was obvious. That was very clear. So, like, I think that any one of these three guys should be really excited, because playing with Slater or with Bouchard, Shocker, he's going to make some really good plays. They're going to make you look better probably than you actually are.
Well, okay, so I agree with you in a lot of ways. Like I do. He's going to make some plays, and he's going to be able to use that brain of his, and the puck will be moving north south more often, and all of that is really positive. Where being Evan Bouchard's partner, where I could view it being an issue, is in the areas of the game where he has a little bit of an issue that he needs to work on, and that's sense of urgency. And you tell me if I'm wrong in this, Struds. If your partner doesn't have an understanding of when danger is about to happen, or the sense of urgency to head it off at the pass, how many times do you then, if you anticipate it, if you see it, if you know it's coming, do you then end up having to cover? And do you end up having to jump in on battles that if your guy, your partner had, had that sense of urgency? That's the one thing in Bouchard's game that I think he's going to really have to focus on, because if you don't have a sense of urgency, and if you don't recognize danger as it's developing in front of you, you're going to have a hard time with your coach. You're going to have a hard time getting out on the ice late in periods and late in games if that's an issue for you. And so the right partner, I think, is really crucial for him in the D zone. And I think we're going to see a lot of, as he's learning and developing and growing, of his partner really having to insulate him against some of that, because time and again, and listen, I think Bouchard is an excellent player. I think he's going to be a very good player. I think they made a mistake with the way they handled him last year. Straight up, I said it all year. I still believe it. I think this guy's going to be a good player. But there are some things in his game that he's going to need to continue to work on. And I think the right partner that thinks the right way is going to maybe make that a little bit less painful.
And 100% right. And you think of like a Chris Russell. A lot of times when I was playing, and Rusty and I were, a little, we played quite a while, you start to see, like, you can see problems happening before anyone else sees it, right? Like, defense, you're like, oh boy, we're already in a bad spot. So you can go and help him out a little bit. So I think that's part of it. You're gonna have to, see problems before he knows it or anyone else knows it. And you can see it. Watching upstairs, Sjager, you'll see the puck goes in the zone, you're like, oh God, this is bad. And before anyone else sees it. Like, it just from playing the game and being out in those situations so many times, just like an offensive player can see a good chance coming, like a good defensive defenseman will know when trouble's coming and they have to go and save him. So
Well,
I
and
think,
yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say is that I don't expect Evan Bouchard and his partner to be playing the last couple of minutes of any game. Like, something bad is going to happen in that top four for those guys when they're winning, to say, okay, boy, we got to put Slater Cuckoo and or whoever, Rusty and Bouchard out
Okay,
there, right?
so I agree with you, but do you not think there's a real fundamental difference between a coach? Okay, he's hesitant to throw that pairing out in the last 4 minutes of a game, right?
Yeah,
It
sure.
says something entirely different if he's not willing to put you out in the last couple of minutes of a period. To me, that's, and coaches will get that way, right? If they're questioning whether they can trust a guy or not, because coaches hate late period goals. They hate late period stuff that can change the momentum of a game that's going well. And if they don't trust a guy, they'll get away from putting guys out late in periods because of, worrying about that. And I think that, Bouchard, I think they need to have an overabundance of patience with him this year. I think there's carryover from the way they handled him last year to the way they have to handle him this year. I don't think they can just say, hey, clean slate, we'll take it game to game, you earn what you earn. No.
No,
This
no.
kid needs more rope. than would be deemed fair in most circumstances, he needs a longer rope this year than you would normally give him. Because what you chose to do with his playing time last year, that's on you. And it's on you to figure out a way to fix that and help work him through that. He has barely played any hockey in the last year, and it's on them to help him work through that. And if he's, I mean, if he's getting the rope yanked, and if he's, if things are going tough defensively for him and he's not getting the breathing room to work his way through it, that's on them, and it's, the mistake continues in my mind. I mean, obviously you got to manage minutes and you can't be putting games on the line, but do you understand what I'm saying, those struds? Like, everybody starts a year with a certain amount of rope. His rope needs to be longer than what you would think based on last year.
Yeah, but the way I see it, he's a third-pairing defenseman. So how much rope does a third-pair defenseman get?
Well, a young developing one, I guess, depends on the coach, and depends on the coach's philosophy, right? So lots of coaches won't even want to play that guy. Or they'll say, give him to me when he's reliable. This is the NHL. We're not here to work guys in the NHL, right? That's, coaches will take that tact. But they chose to have him here last year. They chose to not have him playing games. They chose, they made all those decisions with him, knowing that it probably wasn't great for his development. So, okay, now you've committed to him. You've got space for him. He's got a spot. He's on. He's going to be on this team. If he starts playing and struggling, you can't kick his feet out from underneath him without giving him lots of opportunities to get himself steadied. Because it's on them that he's barely played any hockey in the last year. That's their decision. And they have visions of this guy being more than a third-pairing guy. Sure, that's where he's going to start. But they're going to need to work him in, and they're going to need to have patience.
Right.
I just think, you know, whereas other young guys might get sat. Like, let's take Caleb Jones, for example, in the trajectory that he's had. And we've seen how hard the organization has been at times on him when he wasn't playing well and it wasn't going great. They had no issue at all treating him like a young defenseman and pulling him from the lineup for days and days and days on end. Can't do that with Bouchard, in my opinion, this year. They're the ones that put him in this position.
But see, I think it's two, like, the, as we're joined by Ryan Rashog, I think it's two totally different things. The ceiling on Jones isn't the same as the ceiling on Bouchard.
Right.
And what Bouchard can do in a shift is something that Jones could never do. Like, so I'm not kidding you, Shogger. Some of the passes that I saw Evan Bouchard make last year, they were elite. Like, I'm not
totally
talking
agree.
About a little pass. Like the best passing defenseman in the league, he was making passes like that. He made one to Connor McDavid. I remember, Connor was swinging wide. Bouchard didn't even look at him and just sailed it across right on the tape. And McDavid, he probably didn't sleep that night. He was so excited to think about what he can get from that guy. No other defenseman in the order can do it. None. Barry's a very good passer. Not CeCe, not Darnell, not.
Right.
And it, like, he is elite. So this is what I say. If I'm the coach of the team, I say, okay, he's going to get his 15 minutes a night. When we're down, this guy's going to go out with Duncan Keith all the time. Cody, you're sitting down. When we're up towards the end of if it is the end of a period or end of a game, depending on how the game's going, because every end of period is a little different, right? Like, if you're up 3-0 and your team is carrying the play, you ride them out. If it's tight 1-0 and your team isn't quite doing this right, then maybe you do have to, like, jump someone else and put him in there. But he's a third-pairing defenseman. So, like, I think, I don't know, what, 15 to 16 minutes a night? Is that what we're looking at here?
But what I'm talking about here, Struds, is how much rope he gets when things go bad. So let's say first five games of the year. Let's envision the first five games of the year. How much hockey has Evan Bouchard played? Next to none. And let's say in his first couple of games he goes out and it's a little bit rough and some of the things that we know are part of his game are very clearly still part of his game. Things that would get most guys benched. Things that would, especially young defensemen. And through, let's say Evan Bouchard's not playing great through the first five games of the year. He's struggling. Right? Well, this is a team that's got expectations to make the playoffs. This is a team that they're not messing around here. This isn't a developmental league.
No.
Right?
Different.
But my point is they're gonna have to stick with him. Or send him down to the American League. They're gonna have to stick with him. They can't get into a situation where, because the guy hasn't played barely at all in the last year and he's gonna have some growing pains, that they get frustrated too quickly with those growing pains because they're in a quote unquote win now mode. Those rules don't apply to him in the same way this year because of the way they handled him last year. And I think he needs rope.
No, I agree. And I don't think the Oilers can win the Stanley Cup this year because they don't have, their young guys aren't good enough. But if McLeod can develop and Bouchard can develop and become a big stud defenseman, now you got something. So I just think they're going to play him, and they're going to have to play him because they need him. And I think some people
Well,
believe.
but the thing is this option that they've just given themselves. Let's say there's some early bumps, right? Let's say there's some early bumps, and suddenly it's Cuckoo and Russell in the third pairing with Russell over on the right side.
I don't believe it'll happen. I don't believe it happened because honestly, it's there. We already know there's going to be bumps. You already know it. Like this isn't a surprise. This isn't, this isn't like Connor McDavid not scoring for the first 10 games, which would be blow you away. Like this, you know, there's going to be bumps. So they're going to work his way through it. They're going to talk about it because they need him. They need him to develop. So
Well, but that's just it, right? So
yeah, he's
so
playing.
you win two out of your first, and I'm kind of creating a bit of a disaster scenario
Yeah,
here. I'm not trying to
sure.
be a negative Nelly.
Yeah.
What we're discussing is some real nuance about the handling of a young player.
Right.
So let's say it's a bumpy start for the Oil, and let's say it's a bit of a bumpy start for Bouchard, which wouldn't surprise me at all because he's barely played any hockey.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
You got to ride it out with him.
Games.
You got to ride it out with him, and you got to let him work his way through it. And you got to, you know, they're going to have to because, you know, the decisions they made with him this year, I believe, were detrimental to his development. And so that needs to be stopped in its tracks. That needs to be absolute full stop in its tracks. And he needs now for decisions to be made with the greater, bigger picture in mind of his overall development. Never mind the 2 points on the line tomorrow night. He played poorly tonight, so is he going in tomorrow night or not? The answer needs to be yes. Of course he's going in. Pulling him from the lineup after a tough outing is not going to be an option for a while. Because
I agree.
Of the way that he was handled last year. He's going to need that space.
All right, buddy. I agree with you. Well, we'll continue this debate tomorrow. Thanks for jumping on. Shaga,
okay.
We'll talk to you then.
Take care, pal.
Thanks a lot. That was our Shaga Report presented by GS Construction. 47 years at Underground Contractors in Edmonton. Shout out to their underappreciated water and sewer crews. Like me in the NHL, they do the dirty work few want to do. They're the Strudwicks of GS Construction. So I guess they're all very attractive, if that's what I'm hearing.